Good morning, Masechet Gittin Daf Nun Bet, and we're on the Mishnah, new Mishnah on the Amud first line, Matnitin. Yotomim she'esam chuetz balabait. So it's quite an interesting concept, this. We're talking here about apotropism, right? So if Yotomim, they've got an apotropos, but now an apotropos wasn't appointed for them. This is somebody that they sort of just like assumed the role of apotropos. So look at Rashi here. Good morning, Michael. I would like to make a special mention. He's getting up at, not to forget, it's 5:15 in London. Shkoach. Okay. Not that everybody else is up at 7:15, it isn't a big deal either, right? Shkoach for getting up as well. But, okay. So, Yotomim she'esam chu'etze balabait. Or she'minal na'vin apotropos. So, either they just dumped themselves on an apotropos. No one appointed this guy, neither the father nor Beitin. Nonetheless, once he assumes the role, or she assumes the role of apotropos, they've got the din of apotropos. That's the chiddush over here. There's a Tosfot Ridya which says, he adds in here the words, perush yatomim shesamchu me'elehen etzel balabait. They decided, right? So we're not necessarily talking to us for read. According to Rashi, it could be that the apotropos took over the role. Might be an uncle or a grandparent or an aunt or whatever, or an older child. Here, Tosfot Reed says they themselves started getting advice from this person acting on their behalf. Or Shimonale Avim, or their father appointed an apotropos. Chayav laser perotehem. That apotropos, because these are kids, they haven't got diet. Talking about your talking children at the moment, I imagine, right? Because I suppose once they become elders, they're not apotropos any longer. So the apotropos would do their maaser for them. And then apotropos sheminahu avi yotomim, another halacha over here, this is going to bring ketubot as well, we saw this. Then apotropos who their father appointed him, so yeshava, right? Rashi says, what do you mean yeshava? Kishigdira yotomim. When they get older, yeshava len she'en lo biyadu klum mishalehen. He's going to make a shvua. So the father appoints apotropos, he acts for them, etc. When the kids get old, they go, make this guy make a shvua. He never took anything from them that wasn't his. Minu Beitin, the Tanakam, the Mishnah here says, if Beitin appointed him, lo yeshava, doesn't have to make a shvua. Why not? Rashi says, time edach, plukta b'rit mafavish, we'll see this argument in the Gemara. Uvein amar, uvein amar, mipnei tikkun olamu. So we're going to see later on in the Gemara, I think it's Abishal. One of them says that the aloha is the other way around. That on the contrary, if the father appoints an apotropos, he doesn't have to make a shvua. If the Beitin appoints him, he doesn't have to make a shvua. And we'll see either one saying because of tikkun olam. In other words, that because otherwise they wouldn't take on this job. So we'll see that in the Gemara as well. Abishal Omer, here we are. Okay, I'm not that clever. Abishal Omer, chiluf advarim. Right, so right here in the Mishnah. Abishal says the other way around. Okay, so we'll see that one in the Gemara. The Gemara brings a bright Abraminu. You said a moment ago that the apotropos takes the truma and maser. But we've got a pasuk. The pasuk says, Atem. It says, Kain tarimu gam atem trumat Hashem. Who takes the truma? You take the truma. V'lo shutafin, look at Rashi. And you call it truma chalik chaber shlomidato. A friend can't go and take, a partner can't take truma for his partner without his consent. Right? Atem v'lo arisin. And you are not sharecroppers. Saving the sharecropper can't take for the balabite without his consent. Atem v'lo apotrophin. And so too, you take the truma and not the apotrophin. Right? Look at Rashi over there. Okay, basically we've got the idea, right? So each one, it's a veloa torem et sheno shelo. And again, the clout, you can't make truma for something which is not yours. Rashi just points out the very last wide lines at the top there. Hach sefer taimer derasha klomar atem m'ma'et torem shel shelo. Rashi said that last line there, in the klal or shel davar, is explaining the previous example before. Why the partner and the sharecropper and the apotroposim can't? Why? Because not yours. And Amr Avchizda, so Avchizda said, lo kashya. That's a steer of the Gemara also in our Mishnah. So he says, not a kashya. He says, why? It depends. He says, kan lachil, kan laniach. It depends what the purpose of the truma is. When do we say in the Mishnah that the apotropos can take truma for the orphans when they want to eat? So if they don't have to take truma, they haven't got diet. So that if he doesn't do it, they can't eat. When does the bride say they can't take truma for people who aren't yours? If you want laniach, we'll leave it in the story. Look at Rashi. Shema yiganvu, why? Because if you leave it there and it's untrumid, it's tevil, people might steal it. Oh, sorry, once you take it, people will steal it. Inam mishum shevach ben avien. Noi v'chavod lahem. I'm not sure about that, what the noi and kavod is for shevach ben avien. That it's like, I suppose they don't want to look like they needy. I'm not sure what the exact answer in Rashi is. But the first one is, if you're just taking trumid, leaving stuff aside, then it could get stolen. If you don't take trumid, it also gets stolen, by the way. So I'm not 100% sure what if anyone's got a note on that, it's not 100% clear why we don't want this guy to take truma, to leave it aside. Maybe from the Atem. I mean, that if the Gemara just said, Atem, you can't, to leave it aside, I'd understand. But it's not saying it's giving reasons. It won't get stolen or kavod. I'm not sure why we need that answer. And yeah, so that's the...
What's your question? What do we need?
My question is, why don't we do what when we said that lo kasha? The one is when they want to eat, and the one is when you're going to want to take trim and leave it aside for them for later. Why do we have to start giving reasons of what the problem is leaving it aside? Rashi says it might get stolen. But even if you don't take truma, it might get stolen. So understand the reason, because the Torah said atem. So when the Torah said atem, it means unless you're going to be eating it, only you can take it. That would have made sense to me, right? Atem. And comes along the bright and says, no, you're right. Atem is only if you don't want to eat it right now. But you're going to eat it right now. Obviously, someone's going to do it for them because they can't do it themselves and they cannot eat. So I'm not sure why Rashi says it. I don't know. I'm sure he's got a very good reason. I just don't understand. Then the brighter, kan lachil kanan yach. And the Gemara brings a brighter now, a long brighter, when you see there's quite a long brighter. And this is like a brighter benichut. Rashi is benichut. It's not a kasha. There's a brighter, which is basically going to explain everything we've just spoken about up until now. Ha'apotropin, tormin, umasrin, ha'achil, v'lo la'niach. Here we are, straightforward. The apotropos, the custodians, can take trum and maser for the guys in their care if they're going to want to use it for eating, but not a set aside. They can sell the animals for them, avadim, their slaves, shvachot, but their maidservants, their houses, sadot, v'kramim, and vineyards. All these things they can sell to raise money. Why la'achil? Rashi says la'achil ha'maot. They aren't going to actually eat the money physically, but to raise money so they can live. Avalo la'aniach. But he can't just sell off the stuff. Now here I understand. You know what? Unless I'll be honest with you, maybe I read the wrong Rashi. I was reading the long Rashi. I never had any kashas on Rashi. It's all me. Rashi's fine. I read the wrong Rashi. Okay. The Rashi over here, there's la'achil tumim la'alte chavim laser. If they want to eat it immediately, they can take it. La'niya chatva ba'otzer ad shigdulu lama le'lasur. And there Rashi says, I read the wrong Rashi. Rashi's saying, why do you want to take the tumim laser off now for later? When they get bigger, they can do it themselves. In other words, we're assuming now again, making assumption that the food won't go off. So that was that Rashi. Now, the Rashi that I read is this Rashi. Why was the bright to say, why don't you just leave, sell stuff or sort stuff out and leave it around? There, because the money, now we understand. Now the money might get stolen. Now we understand as well, by leaving the stuff in their possession, so they're looking richer and they've got bigger stocks and they've got bigger asset base, and it might improve its value over time. And therefore, you don't want to sell off now what you don't need to sell, which is basically a rule. Someone told me a long time ago, I went into the property and said, the only time that a person sells property is when they need money. If you don't need money, he said, don't sell. Okay, that's basically what Rashi's saying over here. If you don't need the money right now to eat, then leave it. It might go up. Once you've sold it, it can't go up, right? Robert, you sent me a thing there about Apple shares. Greg, once you sold them, they're gone. Right? The money's not going up, but this they could go. Well, they went up like 40-something% recently. It was like a huge jump. I mean, Apple shares, Apple company, Apple is worth over $3 trillion. It's like the fifth biggest GDP in the world, bigger than like most of the countries in the world. It's like mind-boggling. Okay, so that's Shevach Beit Avihen. That's what Rashi understood already in 1075 or so when he wrote this parish. Okay. And they can sell their fruits and their wine things and their oils and their flour, everything they need money to eat. Not leave aside. And they can take money and they can make them a lulav and they can buy them arovas and build them a sukkah and buy them tzitzit. Right, anything that's defined. We come back to the word kitzpah. Remember we had a question yesterday on the Gemara, Machloket in the Gemara yesterday. What was the problem with the guy who stole the gazdan when he sold the fields? Why couldn't the guy claim back for the on the improvements? We had a machlok. Remember Ulla and who was it? Ulla and Rabbi Chanina, right? That Ulla said because it wasn't written into the shtar, and Rabbi Chanina said because it wasn't a set amount, because it could be any amount. Same thing over here. If it's got kitzpah, if we know that you lulav costs this much and this, etc. So it litua shofar, even to include shofar. That's why the more explaining. What do you mean? Chol davar sheyesh lo kitzpah, litua shofar. You need a shofar. dedicate one shofar. You can buy them sefer mezuzah. Even Megillah, you can buy them any of these things, any needs that they need. Now, interesting. What do you mean? Ain poskin? You can't take upon yourself to commit them to tzedakah. Look at this unbelievable Rashi. This. Why not? Because ain la kitzba. There's no amount when it comes to tzedakah. Right? There's no amount of what tzedakah is. Tzedakah is unlimited. Because they're going to be poor people, unfortunately, this is part of the world. They're always going to be aniim. So nimtzu nischem kani. If you're just giving every single ani who comes to you on behalf of these yatomim, you'll eventually just empty them out. They'll be gone. See, now this, I'll be honest, is a bit of a difficult one. V'ein podin aleihen et hashvuin. When he says over here, "Ein podinin aleihem et hashvuin," so I'm not sure if really we mean over here that if they are taken captive, right? But I think it means that you can't take money from the yatomim to release captives. In other words, even though Amishai might want to collect, we don't take money from them because the same idea. You know, these things unfortunately, you know, have got nothing. But Lord, call the Rashi Eshlo, call the Rashi. Anything hasn't got a kitzba. Right? Tanchume Avelim, the same idea. Suppose Tanchume Avelim over here includes more than just going to say, I'm a Kom Yenachem. But it means like feeding them and buying them food during the period of Shiva, etc. They can't go to court. They can't litigate when it comes to either Ladun, right? Lachov Ulaschut. Right, Rashi Zaviera, Dun im Baal Din Shli Yatomim Abal Orer on the same. If there's a dispute, right? Shemini Tchayvu B'Talotehem V'Nishigdulu Yatomim Yadunimo. Because this guy might get them into a mess, and now when they get old, they're going to come and put him in, and they're going to claim from him. They say you misrepresented us. So just you don't do it. So I don't know how you do it. The Gemara asked the question on the brightly. Liskota my law. If it's to get them, if it's to help them win, why not? Right, Rashi says Yadunimo im Danu V'Nishdulu Yatomim my law Havedina. If he wins, why not? He says, no, you're right. Obviously, if he was going to straightforward winning, it might be okay. We're talking about, you're taking a chance. I think that's what Gemara is saying over here. If in any intention was for them to win, but he lost, he wouldn't be bound by it. Because there's no risk for the atonement. They may say, listen, you know, we're going to sell you land far away. We're going to buy you closer to home. Right? Or bara'ah, but ligol b'liyafah, but ligol over here actually means to buy. It says ligol knows to redeem. It means they can't sell and buy with the money. Or they can't sell bad stuff and buy good stuff. My time, this is a Gemara. It says the deal may be mishtadfin, because this stuff might go off. Now the obvious, it might go bad. Now you might have buy a good field and suddenly it gets flooded. But the obvious question is, well, I mean, even the bad field could get flooded, right? Or the far field could get flooded. But that's not the apotropos' problem, you know? There's a difference. If the apotropos wasn't involved, no one can blame him. It sounds, right? So that's what it seems over here. As long as you don't burden him with too much responsibility, then I suppose we also make sure then that he's staying objective. And apotropin rashayim kol sadot, but avadim can't sell fields and ba avadim. Why? Because avadim can get sick and they can die. Fields, as a rule, can't get sick and die. But you can't sell avarim to buy them fields. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, af lo limkor avarim likach sadot. You know, he says, no, not even that. Just leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't start becoming too clever and making business decisions for them. So my time, he says, Dilma lo mishafyan. Look at Rashi over here. He says, lo yu meshukatot. It's lo shema yetze alav iru. It might not be a straightforward deal. This, so people start challenging the whole story. They can't free slaves either. I mean, we've seen people fleeing slaves, right? There's a way to free a slave. It's a minatory. You aren't supposed to free the slave, but I suppose if you want to, you can. If he's going to pay you back, whatever the case is. Here he says, don't free the slaves. Look at Rashi. Even they aren't going to lose. The slaves got money. Somebody gave Rashi adds on over here. Somebody gave him the money. That's his money, only that the Balabite can't have any claim on it. That's the only way he can get money. And he wants to pay himself back. You're allowed to do it. But there's a way out of it. They can sell the avi to somebody else. And the other guy can then sell them free. They're just a dinavi on the yatomi. They haven't got that. They're youngsters. You don't have the proper to get involved. But he can sell the avi to somebody else, get the money, And then if they know that the guy wants to redeem himself, I suppose, Rabbi says a little bit different here. He says, "Omer ani afu noten dmei atzmo v'yotze." He says, "Ina, he can even pay his money and release himself. Why? Ibnei shehu." Now look at the Rashi over here. Who's the who over here? Ibnei shehu apotropos. Rashi called apotropos is kemocholo. Look at Rashi's got a version of kemocholo atzmo, levit atzmo. So it's almost like the apotropos is acting on behalf of the yotomim, so the yotomim can sell to somebody else, and that person can then free the eved. The apotropos is like that other person. I think that's what Rebbe's saying over here. But tzarich lechashem in b'achrona. But at the end of the day, what's he saying over here, Rebbe? The day will come, we'll have to basically give these guys the din v'cheshbon. Look at Rashi here, b'achrona, k'sheyigdilu, when they grow up, yechashev imahen v'yishava shelo nishar b'yado klum. Since he took money, right, he did a transaction over here, and you have to swear to them, make a shvua, that all the money went to them. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, doesn't have to swear. Right, doesn't have to make a shvua. And it makes sense why, because again, we come back to our din of the Mishnah. If the father appointed them, then we said never have to make, he would have to make a shvua under any circumstance. If the Beit Din appointed, he would never make a shvua under any circumstance. Rabbi Shaul says the other way around. So we'd basically be subject to that same din. Then the brother carries on. Ain't osin apotropin nashim avadi muktani. You can't make a promise appointed as a woman, or slaves, or k'tanim. Rashi's over here, nashim, ain't darkan, latzet, v'lavo, v'litroach. It's not to have a woman to run around doing all, managing business, etc. And avadim, says over here, because ain't their money, we don't trust them. And k'tanim, and they haven't got da'at. However, listen to this. Im min'an avi yetomim, arishut b'yado. But if the father decided to appoint a woman or an eved or a k'tan, So I'm not sure how a katan would work, because a katan would need his own apotropos. So you'd appoint the katan's apotropos, he'd have his own apotropos, who's busy running around, you'd have an apotropos running an apotropos. So I'm not sure how that would work. I mean, it's a katan who's a bit older and he's a clever, intelligent guy. Kahu apotropos, now the Gemara brings some masim over here. Amazing story this. Okay, so now, look at the story of Rabbi Meir. There was a prophet who lived in the name of Rabbi Meir, right? The havek mazavin ara v'zaban avde. So he would sell land and buy avadim for these orphans. Exactly what we said. You know how to do, right? But Lord Shavkin, Rabbi Meir didn't like it. Rabbi Meir wouldn't let him do it. He tried to undo the story, right? He says, "We have a Lord Shavkin." Look at is there Rashi there? So a dream from Shamayim. It appears I saw it in the Daf notes. He says from Shamayim. I don't know where he got it from, but there's no Rashi. He says that we'll see in a moment why. That from Shamayim, they came to be married in a dream, and said to him, "What are you doing?" Right? Ani seems like Hashem said. There's a version of it. There's a Masorah Shas that says Ba'en Yaakov. It says Anu. It says we. So now that wouldn't be Hashem, there might be angels. I don't know. But anyhow, Malachi, I'm not sure what the story is. Anyhow, he says, Ani laharos, v'atali v'not. He says, "I've got reasons why I want this apotropos to ruin these guys." In the Daf notes I saw, he said there, because their father acquired all these fields in a dishonest manner. Selma's nodding away there, so I imagine there's a note in this Gemara. Okay? That their father acquired it in all different manners, and therefore I'm trying to interfere here from Shamayim to get rid of all of this, and you helping them. Afilo Achi says, Lo Ashkach, made no difference, it didn't affect him. Why? Nehemiah, look what he said, Jeremiah. He said, he quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin and in Horaias, says, Divrei Chalomot, Lo Ma'alin, Velo Moridim. We don't respond to dreams. Dreams are all very nice. We don't paskan aloha but dreams. Because aloha lemasya danya, right? Ator lo ba shamaimi. That's the opposite of Rabbi Eliezer, right? He says, Aviyah, basically, this is the Torah, is Aviyah. We've got aloha lemasya. Apotropos can't sell. We don't sell. We're letting Shabbayim intervene. Another story. Is 1 second. Says, "What's that one?" What? Natani. That's what I said. That exactly that was the answer in the case of Rabbi Eliezer in Talosh Lachnai, where Chachamim said to him, "Hashamayim Lashem, Aretz Lashem Adam." We don't get into that. That's what I said. Right. Right. So it says, "Lo Malim, Lo Moridim." Hanubay. Another story here, Rabbi Meir, where he wouldn't let Shamayim. We interfered, right, in this. The Satans, these two neighbors or friends, whatever the case, the Satan got hold of them. And the Chobay Shamshay, Rashi says, yeah, Chobay Shamshay means Erev Shabbos. It's a Likutei Rashi, yeah, so it's also read as well, that Rashi says always, as a rule, Bay Shamshay means Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmach Erev Shabbos. They were fighting, And the pshat of yes, so why Erev Shabbos? Because the Satan was trying to ruin them, because the Satan, that's where the Satan thrives. The Satan thrives on machloket. And especially if you mechal on Shabbos, if he can step him into machloket Erev Shabbos, that's like the ideal for the Satan. So Ikler Rimei arrived in the town. Akvinu tlate bei Shamsha. He stuck around for three Shabboses. Erev Shabbos, ad the Avid Leh Shabbos, he made shalom between them. And then Shamei says, yeah, Shamei, look at Rashi. Shamei, le Satan de Kamar. Rabbi Meir himself heard the Satan saying, why the Afkari Meir lahu gavet mi beite? This guy, meaning himself, says to himself, says, oi, woe to Rabbi Meir, who expelled this guy from this house. Because Rabbi Meir managed to intervene and get the Satan to leave. Okay, that's another story about Rabbi Meir. Who apotropos to have a bishvivut to Rabbi Shobin Levi? What's the story of here about the same thing about an apotropos living in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shobin Levi? The Havak and Mazabin Arab, Mazabin Tura, he was selling land and buying oxen for the orphans. Rabbi Yeshua and Levi never interfered. Rabbi Meir, when he heard what was going on, they were selling land and buying avadim, he put a stop to it. Rabbi Yeshua and Levi, when he was selling land and he was buying oxen, right, ashore, he never said a word. So why not? He said, Savlak Rabbi Yossi. He held like Rabbi Yossi. Looking where you have a second Shabbos, the Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Miyamai, Lo Kariti, Le Ishti, Ishti. We've seen this before, right? That's long ago, remember? See, my whole life, I never referred to my wife once as my wife, Ishti. Right? Ule Shori, Shori, or to my ox, to my shore, my shore. Ele Le Ishti, he called my wife Beiti. Always called my wife Beiti. Right?
Beiti.
Not Beiti, yeah. Beiti, right? Right? Beiti. Look at Rashi. She called Tzorche Abayit Al Yada Nasim. Because she runs my house. Right? V'hi Ikar Abayit. She's the mainstay of the house. V'chein Shor. She said, L'shori Sadi. Sadai. And to my ox, I called my field. Why? Says Rashi. Yeah, because Shor Ikaro Shel Sadeh. So Rashi and Abayit are saying like this. If the aloha is that they can sell fields, to buy fields, or they can sell, right? So if they're selling a field to, although the Mishnah said they couldn't even sell fields to buy field, they couldn't sell farm, buy good, etc. That's a different story altogether. But suppose if they were selling fields to buy shore, so shore, he says it like a sadeh. So shore, sadeh, it's basically we're just selling fields to buy fields. Okay.
There's an explanation to that,
Darren.
What? Why did he allow him to buy fields and things? Because otherwise the orphans' fields wouldn't be able to be plowed. He didn't have oxen.
But he sold fields to buy oxen, so they haven't got fields. No, I understand. Okay. But again, that's a nice idea. That's a nice idea. The Likar story of here, I think, is that he called it, that he referred to ox, not as ox. Right? But why he did it, okay, very nice. Okay, so now, there was this Yatmei, these orphans, that like in the Mishnah said, they havu samchu. They basically took upon themselves this grandmother in the town who to look after them. Havaleu turta, and they had these oxen, shaklev, zvinta, and yaren. She would sell them. She sold them. So I took krovim to come and have Nachman. So relatives, right, you've got to wonder why the relatives themselves didn't take upon themselves responsibility to look after these children. But now suddenly they see the safti selling stuff, and they think she's making money on the orphans. They rush off to Rav Nachman. So Amrullah Nachman says, well, what do you want from, they said to Rav Nachman, my avinita, but the zavna, well, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? That she's selling. She's selling the oxen. Look at Rashi. Me not, but who appointed her, says Rashi. So Amalehu, so Rabbi Nachman said to them, Yatomim Shesamcha Etze Balabait. Now, the Mishnah says, Yatomim Shesamcha Etze Balabait. They had to be appointed. Even though they weren't appointed, Chashiv Leik Apotropos. If they took it upon themselves to ask her questions and to behave vis-a-vis her as Apotropos, she's got the din of an Apotropos. Right? And a din of Apotropos means that she's Chayiv and now she's the one who can make the decisions. They said, yes, but Mahayakir. But these cows or whatever, the part of the shore that they saw that she sold, since she sold them, they've gone up in value. She says, Nachlu, what do you want? But that's right. But who gets the benefit? The buyer, because he had them. They got came. The price went up while he had them. That's life. They said to him, no. They haven't taken the money yet. Now we know, what's the din? We know with a cow. How do you buy a cow?
Meshicha.
In the cows in their house, in the new owner's house. So Mistoma, they did Meshicha, right? So they did Meshicha, it's theirs. So look what Rav Nachman says. He says, Amar Lehu. He says, ah, if they haven't taken the money yet, Amri Uvachirush. He says, Imkain, Hainu, Rav Chinlai Bar Idi, Amar Rav Shmuel, but Amar Rav Chinlai Bar Idi. Amar Shmuel, Amar Shmuel, that says what? Nichsei Yatomim. Nichsei Yatomim, the assets of an orphan, Harei Hein Kehegdish. And they have the status of Hegdish. Now, what's the special din of Hegdesh? This is Gadlut, right? Look at Rashi here. Harei hain ke Hegdesh, tichtiv, in the Vayik, it says, v'natana kesef v'kamlo. What does it mean with Hegdesh? How do you buy something with Hegdesh? You gave the money, and then it becomes yours. V'lo shaykhe bayu meshicha. With Hegdesh, there's nothing in meshicha. Right? Hegdesh trades, if you buy from Hegdesh, you've got to pay the Hegdesh until you get it. Until you haven't paid, it's not yours, it's not meshicha. So it says, and therefore they haven't bought it yet. The owners didn't buy, the purchaser didn't buy it, they didn't pay the money. Ah, they didn't pay the money, take it back. Or they've got to now pay the new money. That was Rav Nachman. Another story, Chamed Rabbana Ukva Chayatma. This is Rabbana Ukva. I don't know why it's called Rabbana Ukva. He was a Yatom and he's dog, he's wine, right? He had wine. Chamed Rabbana Ukva. Mashchua ba'arba arba iviyake. So again, people took it from him, doing Meshicha, at the value of, Rashi says over here, ba'arba arba. So like, four zoos probably to a barrel, to chabit. V'yaker, and now the kambashin, now suddenly worth six, called 50%. Right? Sound like apple shares over here, right? So he says over here, Atlo kamer Rav Nachman. Same thing, they came to Rav Nachman. So Amar, Rav Nachman said the same thing. Amar leo hanu Rav Chindai ba'idi, damar Rav Chindai ba'idi, amar shmuel nirtza yatomim, ha'ike hegdesh, v'lo makne ha'le ba'kaspa. Haven't paid the money yet from the yatomim, take it back, or they're going to pay the new price. We don't go with after Meshicha, we go after hegdesh. Another story over here, Mashuch Pire Miyatme Iyaku. So people, Mashuch Pire Miyatme, right? They took fruit. People took Meshicha Pire. I think this is not a, the first one was a Pire. This is a Pire. It's fruit, right? Help me there. Mashuch Lekhuda Pire. Fruits, eh?
Yeah, fruits.
Fruits, right? Pire Miyatme. Iyaku, the same story. God says, 100 Chinai Ba'idi. Gemara says the same thing. If they got, but listen to this. Iyaku is a little bit more complicated. So he says, Iyaker, if the fruits now, after Meshicha, the price went up, so that's the Rav Chinai Ba'idi. Actually, now was Shmuel, right? Shmuel thought. Zul, what if the price went down? And now the buyer says, ah, this is Hekdesh. I didn't pay for it. It works both ways, right? So the Yatomim can claim from me more money now. It's gone down. Take it back. I don't want it anymore. Pay me back my old price. Give me back my money. Right? So he says, Zul, lo yeh koach hedyot. Wait a second. Lo yeh koach hedyot. We're not going to now give an individual guy more koach than Hekdesh. So he can't take it back. Only works in one way. So Amshichu Lehu Pirei Liyatme. The Gemara gives it. Now that seems to be like a headline. The Gemara repeats the whole story again. Amshichu Lehu Pirei Liyatme. Yake lo yeko achedjuchah mehekdesh. Zol sabi minei ha'ad rab chani ba'idi. So the Gemara says the other way around, right? It says yake lo yeko achedjuchah mehekdesh. Zol, if it went down, sabi minei ha'ad rab chani ba'idi. That seems to be rab chani ba'idi. If it went down, they haven't bought it yet. So I'm Amshichu Lehu Pirei Liyatme. So Amshichu Lehu Pirei Liyatme says to these guys, wait a second, don't be too clever now. Why don't be too clever? Sometimes you can be a chocham and it can work against you. He says, "Ha ra'ahi ledilu." This is bad for your clients. That was for the Yatomi. Why? To zimnin de mitrache le pire veleke de yahiv lehu ad de yave zuze. Because if the Yatomim have always got the upper hand, and if prices go up, they can say the deal wasn't done. If prices go down, they can say the deal wasn't done. The deal was done. So then if they ever need fruits and they haven't got the cash available, no one will sell it to them. Because they're going to say, listen, we're not giving it to you on the basis of Meshicha. With you, be a Tommy, but it only works on money. Give us the money, we'll give you the fruits. Because just now, you won't give us the money, and the fruits will suddenly go down. And say, I can't pay you the lesser amount. So in other words, they're going to work to your detriment because your orphans haven't always got the cash available. They need the food. No one will sell them food without money. Where if the deen is based on Meshicha, then guys are happy to sell it to them because even the price goes down, it's a done deal. So maybe it's worth your while taking that risk. So Yave Yetame Zuze Apire, same story, we said here, Halocha. Yave Yetame Zuze Apire, Zo lo ye koachedut chavim nehegdesh. Yake sabu minei rabbi drabdich, right? Amalu rabbi shishi rabbi idi, ha, same thing. I don't know why the Gemara is repeating this whole story of here. Ha ra'i ledidu. Da'atu, says da'atu lemei malehu. What's his, there's a slightly different version of here. Yeah, he gives them a version. He says, now, if you say, right, look at Rashi here, Atu lemei malehu nisvechitechem ba'aliyah. Look at Rashi here, Asherei kanitem b'maot. Now, he says, on the other hand, if they do pay with money, and they haven't yet taken it, so it seems like it's the Gemara's hearing like sort of both sides to the story. It's not so partial either, why? Huh? Because if you tell me, on the other hand, that they gave money and they didn't do the Meshicha, so then they paid money, and now they haven't yet taken possession of the produce, and it's in the seller's storeroom and there's a fire there, why would he care to go and save it? He sold it. No, it's not mine, it's his. So we've got a bit of a problem. But if it's only Mashiach, right, so then on the other hand, we're saying that it's Hekdesh. If it's and then if it's got money and not the Mashiach, it only works and haven't done Mashiach either, and they've given the money, then they can lose if it's if they paid in advance. At least have you had to remember Mashiach. So I think that that seemed to be the case. Look at another story over here. Yavre Zuliyat Me'apire. Yake, the fourth case over here. If the Yavre Zuzeliyat Me'apire. People gave the Yatomim fruit, money, and then they paid, didn't actually do Mashiach, and then Yake, and now suddenly went up. They haven't done Mashiach yet, but they're given the money, so the Gemara says, oh yeah, Kohach Edun, Chavon Ve'egdesh. So in other words, it seems like I can undo it because they didn't do Mashiach. If it went down, Zol, so I had Rabbi Chidavari. And if it goes down, then on the other hand, like I said, undo the deal like Rabbi Chidavari didn't like because they called it out. The Gemara says, Amen, Rabbi Shishu, Rabbi Di, Arahu, the Dilu, the Zimni, the Ichuch, the Zuzeh, but they have the Adi, Abed, Pire. Now it's the other way around. Now he says that they might want to sell and no one's going to sell to them. What is it? Amar lehu Rav Shishi Rabbi. Ha ra'ahu. Again works against the Yotomim. The Zimnid imitzchuchud. The Yotomim might need money. Veleke the Yavle. No one will give them money in advance at the Yavle period until they actually give them the fruits because they're going to say, "Well, second, everything's working basically in all directions." The bottom line, it seems, that the best thing for the orphans will be to go according to both payment and Mashiach, right? Like a normal deal. Because however you look at either direction, if it's only money, then there's no Mashiach. If it's only Mashiach, there's no money, it can work against them. Either they'll need money and no one will give them money, or they'll need goods, nobody will give them goods without money. So it seems like the advice of yes, even though you're right that you could come along with this fancy idea of Rav Nachman, that it's like Hekdesh and only works with money and not with Mashiach, it seems like it's better off to just conduct business in a normal way and not be too clever.
I would have thought that the Hekdesh applies only to the produce or to what
the Yotomim
own, not what they're buying from.
No, but that's the idea. If you only go one-sided, then you end up working against you as well. Because if you can never lose, then somewhere along the line is going to come and affect you. And that's the bottom line. That's the story of you. That you're right. That the Gemara, that only applies to what the Yotomim own. That also applies to what they're buying and what they're selling. When they buy it, they own it. So if they never took possession, they didn't pay money, then God will say, wait a second, pass the money. They haven't got the money they want because I'm not selling it to you without giving you the money because with you it's not a done deal. And the only thing they want to sell, God will say, and they need money now, and they want to sell, and the buyers haven't got the money. People will say, no, we're not buying from you. Or if they need money now, God, I'm not giving you money in advance because I'm glad you the Mashiach, it's not going to be a deal for me. So it becomes too complicated, and we move back. I'm Rav Ashi, I'm Anna. He says, me, V'Rav Kahana Chati Matan Ashtar, both of us are signed on Ashtar, the Eimei Deziri Yatame, he says we allowed, right, the Eimei, the mother of the Deziri Yatame, the orphan, the Mezamna, are that she can sell land, Lechraga, that's a head tax, right, below Achrasta. Now, what's an Achrasta? Normally, you should have an Achrasta. Ruk Rashi says, yeah, Hashem, Machazin Shloshim Yom Karka, Prani Yotzei Lemichar, got to basically put up a tender, 30 days in advance for your Tomim, to give people the chance to come and bid and try and get the highest price. So when it comes to paying a head tax, there we allow them to sell even without a tender. Why? They said in the Hardai, lechraga ulemezone velikvura, for three things over here. For head taxes, I suppose head taxes you've got to pay. If you don't pay the head tax, they'll just expropriate your property and end up getting worse. You end up getting less. So when you're dealing with the government over here, don't mess around. Pay the money and pay the taxes. Otherwise, it starts occurring interest in the Hatzmadai and etc., etc., and then you're in real trouble, right? So he said, "Lechag ulemezone." When it comes to food, ulekfura, and to pay for burials. It's interesting that burials also an important thing of here. Mazvinan below achrasta, you can sell, and apotropos can sell even without a tender. So here it seems that there are circumstances we let the apotropos have a bit of a free reign, and we don't whether he has to make a shvuah. I'm not sure. Okay, another story over here of apotropos. We're still on the same subject. Amram Tzaba'a. So he was a painter, right? Aputrupa de Yat Mehaba. Now, I suppose this is unrealistic. I suppose this is life. The guy's a painter. He's a blue-collar worker. The assumption is he's not the richest guy in the world. Okay?
That's... I think everyone in those days was blue-collar.
All right, okay, true. But even so, right, even within the blue-collar, there's still a hierarchy. Okay? He's a dark blue-collar. All right? So he says, Amram Tzaba'a. You'll see why I'm saying this, because the Gemara Mamas makes that assumption. Right, he said, Amram Tzaba'a, Apotropa Diatme. He was an apotropos. So Atu Krovim Lekamed Rav Nachman. See, Rav Nachman seemed to be the guy that people came to for apotroposim. It's amazing that you see this in the Gemara's when he said in Laugh. I mentioned it to you, I think, before, that Rav Yitzchak Chanan Spekta was known as the father of the Agunot. So he dedicated a lot of his life to passing halacha on Agunot. It seems like Rav Nachman was the guy people came to. And we saw he was pretty creative here as well with the Hegdesh story. Plus, people knew that if you go, you want to need a sympathetic ear, somebody can be creative when it comes to looking after orphans. He seems to be the guy. So, Atu Krovim Lekamed Rav Nachman. Family came to Rav Nachman. He said, Amrele, Kelavish Umichse Miyatme. Look at that, he's getting dressed. He's clothing himself at the expense of the orphans. He was running around in branded clothes over here, walking around in Armani suits. And the guy's a painter. Right? That's the message over here, right? He says, Amaleus, Rav Nachman said to them, Ki heichi did ishtaman mile. He says, he's not doing it stam. Look what he's doing. And it's amazing how nothing's changed in 2,000 years, right? Look at Rashi over here. V'tzorech hayatomimu. He says, on the contrary, Rav Nachman says to them, this is he's doing for the purpose sake of the orphans. Why? Sheyehe nire kadam chashuv. He's got to look like an important person. When he comes to the bank and he wants to talk on behalf of the orphans, the painter, well, you get involved here in big business. But if he walks in dressed in a fancy suit and tie and he's carrying a nice briefcase and he's got a fancy watch on, the bank manager looks at him differently, right? So he says, Dilishtamele mile. So if they say to Rav Nachman, that's all very nice. About kachal v'shati midinu v'lo amud. See that? Look here. He said, but he's drinking and whining and dining. He says v'lo amud. Okay, ainu ashir la'asot yitziot al mishlon. Where's he got the money? He's not a rich guy. He's a painter. How can he go and afford all of these things? Umishel yetomimu said. Rashi says clearly the family are saying he's taking the money from the orphans. I understand he's going to look nice, but he has to go to the finest restaurants and eat caviar and everything like that, right? So Imur Metzia Ashkach. So Rav Nachman wants to give benefit of the doubt. He says maybe he came along a Metzia, maybe he hit the lottery. And it's not the Yatom, maybe he just struck it rich. So we understand he didn't make his millions from painting, right? But maybe he had some sort of other hobby. So he says, what are you talking about? Vaha Kamafsid. But no, but we know, look at Rashi. Kamafsid Dirsay Yotomim, Shalom Farnes Akakot Kraui, Lahem, Vekotzetz Lanot. He's dwindling down their asset base. We can see he's consuming all their stuff. Is it enough for them to live off? He's plundering the whole stuff. So Amaleus Rav Nachman says, I to li sahade, the mafsid, you bring your witnesses and you tell him he's true, the iskalin, and I'll get rid of him. Right? Amar Rav Huna, I'm chabri mishmai to Rav, because Rav Huna, a friend of Rav, said, like, it's apotropos, the mafsid, if the apotropos is causing loss to his yatomim, mesalkin, we get rid of him. The itmar, and he quotes of Yamamar, apotropos, the mafsid, Rav Huna, Amar Rav, mesalkin, right? The Bar of Shilo, Amar, and it's a machlok, let's see, but the machlok, Amar Rav, Rav Huna, Amar Rav, says we get rid of him, the Bar of Shaila, Amar, lo mesalkin, the Hilchatim, mesalkin, and I pass a loch, like we do get rid of him. Bring me witnesses, no problem, I get rid of him immediately. Okay, apotropos, now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Aviyah, apotropos sheminu aviyah tomim b'yeshava. The apotropos that the father appointed, he makes a shua. Remember, we saw that already Abishal in the Mishnah argued. Tanakama says that if the father appointed him when the children grow up, he makes a shua. If the court appointed him when they grow up, he doesn't make a shua. The Gemara says, my timer, why is he making a shua? Right? He says, he loved to eat leyu hana'aminei, lo avale apotropos. Umishum shvua lo atilim nuay. So I skipped something here. Apotropos shiminu avir tomim yishava. My timer. I love the itle hana mine. Lo have the apotropos. Umishum shvua lo atilim nuay. Right. He says, look. He says, it's obvious that the father and him have got some pre-existing relationship here. And there's some benefit that this guy's getting. Otherwise, he wouldn't have taken on the job. So therefore, the fact that we're going to make him make a shvua isn't going to be a deterrent. Therefore, we aren't worried he won't take the job. Because the pashut that he owes the father, right? I don't know if any of you saw, you know that Berlusconi died, the Italian prime minister. In his will, there was a guy who sat in jail, actually, I think, and he was accused of being the go-between him and the mafia. He left him something like 30 million euro in his will. Berlusconi left this guy 30 million euro in his will. He says he hasn't stopped crying since he heard the news. Okay, I read it this morning, right? So I'm not accusing these guys of being go-betweens with the mafia. But, you know, you leave a guy 30 million euro in your will. It's got no relationship to you. There's a debt to be paid over here, right? Chas v'shalom, I don't want to make any assumptions about Iskani. I'm sure he was a holy, straight man and nothing, anything wrong, right? So that's the minu beitin. On the other hand, the Mishnah says if a beitin appointed him, so he doesn't make a shvuah. So the Gemara says milta ba'amu David lebeitina, right? Ve'i ramit leshvuah atlim nuay. Says why? He says this is just a milta ba'amu. He's doing a favor for beitin. Look at Rashi. Kabe beitin tovat chinamui. Shazel said a beitin lekabel divrei nitroch divrei yotam ve'atlim nuay mikar mekabel. He says this guy is appointed by the beitin. He's doing it for no ulterior motive. And therefore, if you had imposed a shvuah on him, he wouldn't take it. Say, leave me alone and keep out. I don't want to get involved in shvuahs. That's why we don't do it.
Does he get paid?
He probably gets paid. But how much can he get paid? I mean, right? Work. So he says, Abba Shua lo me'a chiluf. And then we saw the Mishnah, Abba Shaul says, all the way around. Abba Shua says, chiluf v'ran. My time, why? He says, Binu beit in Shabbat. He says, the beit in your point in Shabbat. Why? He says, Bahi ana de kanafika le kala. He says, because the guy's not doing a stam. This is giving him status. People say, look at that guy, he's an honorable person. Beit din appointing is the apotropos, right? The inish behim, people that trust him, they believe in him. The ha samich alei beit din, surely beit din rely on him, must be an important person. Therefore, he says, mishum shvua lo atrim, he says, that other way around, he says. If you pose a shvua on him, he's not going to worry because the status and the kavod is a big enough, incentive, right, to do it. But on the other hand, but Avi Yatomi, but if the father appoints him, lo yishava. There you shouldn't make a shvuah shabbat. Why? Because milta b'amud avdilah. Because he's just doing a stump to help him. Look at Rashi. Milta b'almahu. Divrei ahava v'reyuta yabenem. V'lo anatan amon kokach. He just loved the father. He wants to help him out. And therefore, v'i ramit alei shvuah atilim nu. If you made him make a shvuah, then he wouldn't do it. Right? What there?
Like milta.
Right. Exactly. Right. So Amrav Chanan bar Ami Amrav Shmuel, hilchatik abashal. So over here, Rav Nachman Chanan bar Shmuel is pasuk the ochel like Abba Shmuel. In other words, it's the other way around. Now listen to this. It brings a brighter. Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Ze veze yishava. He says, got a brighter the other way around, that they both make a shvuah. And the brighter paskin is v'yilchatik edvarav, and the aloch is like him. Now listen to this Tosfot read. I know we're running a little bit late here. Please follow me on the Tosfot read. Look at the Tosfot read. Towards the bottom of the Tosfot read, it's got there, Afal Gav de Tanya. Can you see that? It's about 4 or 5 lines from the bottom of the Tosfot read there, right in the middle. So Afal Gav de Tanya v'alachak edvarav. So even the brighter says there, halacha kidvarav, the brighter, which is like a Mishnah, paskins alocha, these are Tanai. He says, ha kaimelam, we have a mesorah, we paskin, ein lemadin halacha mipnei Mishnah. We don't pass off with Mishnah. He says, ve'ifsak amorai, ve'apsak amorai samchinam, we rely only on amorai, not on Tanai, to paskin alocha. Says Katavitz v'chule. Katavitz says Zabahani mini betanat Shem, and we're going to see in a moment. We say, but that's just, I thought it was an important point to mention over there. Now the Gemara brings a brighter, I think it's Tanya. Yeah, this is a brighter.
Always correct.
Sorry.
Don't you know that Rabbi
Elias
ben Yaakov is always correct?
Well, I don't know. You mechadish me something, but that's very nasty. You're saying in the brighter, Tani Rabbi Elias ben Yaakov halocha like Rabbi Yaakov, baby. Robert said we always have a thing there. Rabbi Elias ben Yaakov, I'm picking up.
They call Kavanaki.
Go up. Let me check if I don't write that down over here anyway. Rabbi Shmar, Rabbi Kiva, Shiu, Rabbi Yochanan, Koma Koma, Shemin Gam, Nishna, Mishna, Nacha, Kumoto. Hey, Anacha. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov Kavanaki. Okay, very, very good. I don't have that written yet. Yeah? But I'm the cladding, I'll write that down. Can you find a source for that? Say, please, I want to keep it written in my book. Shkroch. So Robert says that we've got a cloud. Rabbi Zimmy Yaakov Kavanaki. The halacha should be him. Okay, but nonetheless, we'll see in a moment. So Tanya Chafnich Bar Marav Kamei Rav Abahu. Apotropos Sheminu Avi Yotomi Mishava. He says over here, Rav Chalif Tachlif, that Apotropos, the father appointed Yishma like the Mishnah. Why? Mipnei Shur No Seschar. Yeah, daddy, because he's getting paid. So Amarle, so listen to this, a bit of sarcasm over here. So this was Rabbi Tachlifa Bar Marava, he says to Rabbi Abahu. So Amalus, Rabbi Abahu says to him, yeah, he mentioned Kavanaki. Look here, comes a Kava. Right? He says, At Aitet Kava Vechidatle. Did you go and measure out how much he got paid? Would you know what he's getting paid? Well, how do you know he's getting paid? He says, Ela Eima Mipnei Shu Keno Seschar. He says, maybe because he's like a person who's getting paid. Right? And that's why maybe he should make the Shvua. Okay, I wanted to finish the Mishnah, that we'll end off over here. I think it's a good place to stop.